Welcome to the Poets Corner in WOMR-FM, Provincetown. I am your host, Joe Gevaert. We have a very special guest with us today, and I hope I'm going to pronounce your name correctly. We're on the telephone with Rasha, and we are speaking to the poet Yevgeny Yevtushenko. Am I saying your name correctly?
It's almost right. Yevgeny Yevtushenko, not Yevgeny.
Yevgeny. And you will...
That's okay.
We have you coming to Wellfleet.
I will make much more mistakes in my Siberian English.
Well, we'll call it even then. For those unfamiliar with Mr. Yevtushenko's work, he is a known political voice in Russia, originally born in Zima Junction, Siberia. And you moved to Russia when you were older, correct?
Yeah. No, Siberia is a part of Russia.
But you moved to Moscow.
So Siberia is not a separate country. It's I think Siberia is the second heart of Russia.
And what was...
Russia, but second heart. And probably sometimes warmer than heart of the central Russia.
And
because,
you moved
because
to...
Because of permanent cold. Now I feel very strangely in Moscow because it's the same temperature like in Oklahoma, in Siberia too.
And your family originally was not from Siberia, were they? Was not your great-grandfather exiled?
No, my family moved to Siberia from Ukraine. My great-great-grandfather was... Polish from Joseph Baikowski was Polish from Polish aristocracy, but he was not rich from rich aristocracy. He was poor aristocracy, but he was intellectual, and he married married one Ukrainian woman who was a serf. He bought her from a landlord. And so, but it was, this was terrible landlord. He was behaved like in medieval times. He even was trying to use right of the first night after each wedding of his peasants. And so my great-grandfather was a head of... peasants' rebellion against landlord, and afterwards all they burned down his house, and afterwards police. It was in the end of 19th century. Police absolutely erased all our village. And all population of the village were sent in the chains to Siberia. They were walking about 7 months to the lake Baikal. And afterwards they stopped. Of course, children, they were moving on the carts. All men, they were walking in chains, like my grandfather. And but it was in Siberia. That's why Siberia was at the same time in pre-revolutionary times and after revolution. It was a country of many prisons, but at the same time, it was a beautiful country. And many... people who were formed main population of Siberia, they were runaways or former prisoners. Some of them were from Russian liberal aristocracy who was trying to overthrow the Romanov dynasty in December of 1825, and so they educated local people in the spirit of freedom. And the Siberians were deeply rooted. Siberians were a very international community. We had Jewish synagogue, and Zimat Junction was the name of the station I was born. It means winter in Russia, Zima. Oh. And so, but I think I was living in very, very friendly brotherhood between many people, different religions, different nationalities. That's probably why I wrote a Babi Yar,
yes.
Anti-Semitism, not being Jew myself.
Because, yeah, and that's the famous line from the poem there.
For all Siberians, we despise people with a fake feeling of priority of their own nation if they're humiliating the people to the of the other nationalities.
Well, in the poem, Babi Yar, not only do you denounce Soviet lies about the Jewish Holocaust and Nazi massacre of Jews in general, particularly in Kyiv in 1941, but haven't you also written about the anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union and Jews put to death by Joseph Stalin?
In Moscow. I've seen it only in Moscow. I didn't see it in Siberia. When I came to Moscow, the first time I heard insulting words, zhit, which in Russian sounds very nasty, like a kike in English. And so if someone asked me why you are so friendly with this bloody Jids. And so I was never heard, because I never heard in my childhood this word. I even asked him what it means, and he thought that I'm joking. So that's why my Siberian spirit survived till these times in my in my spirit. When I hear any kind, I see any kind of racism or feeling of priority of kind of nationalism, it's, I feel just idiosyncrasy for it. I couldn't accept it. It's just my education. Siberian education does permit me.
Well, you dropped out, did you not? You were going to school in Moscow, and you dropped out after your first year, no?
Yeah, but it was great luck.
It was great luck.
It was a great luck, really. Of course, I was not happy in that moment. At the beginning, when I was expelled from the school.
Oh, you were expelled?
Because I was a suspect because of my very low grades. I was a suspect that I, not anyone else, burned down some books of grades. And after many years, I discovered that it was one of our best students. He, happily for him, he finally discovered this his secret.
Years
he was first time we had the highest grade 5 in Russia, like you have A. And so he, for first time, he received minus for A. That's why he was so angry and outraged. And nobody suspects him. Everybody suspected me because I was always, no, I couldn't say, I was not a hooligan, but a little bit troublemaker, I could say.
You weren't a hooligan. You just did not like injustice. I know that you were a big part.
You know one thing, I could tell you something, which our generation, we were brainwashed by many boring theory of the behavior of young builders of communism. And I didn't find in communism nothing wrong when I was reading books, because, for example, I liked very much, when I was a very Young, I liked very much Lenin's phrase that communism is a society of the future when we will have no borders, we will have no state bureaucracy, no even state itself, we will have no police, we will have no any kind of passport because we don't need visas. And we will, money will be canceled, and we will build public toilets from the gold. That's why I liked it very much. But reality, unfortunately, was not so romantic because some people began to use their privilege. Some ex-revolutionaries, they didn't pass test by their privilege, money, and so, I don't say idea was very beautiful, but because it was each day, it didn't match to reality, you know, and that's why I was openly saying it, and I was not caressed by my hair, against my head, for it. And we really our poetry of our generation. It was a kind of the codex of honor. For instance, I've seen once. When big crowd mob was hitting someone who was lying down on the about 100 people probably were beating one defenseless man. Even I didn't know was it thief or someone else, but I wrote my paragraph and my own poetical codex of honor. If 100 of mob is hitting someone who's lying down, I never will be 101st man. I never will join them like 101st and the one. You understand what it means? That was codex, which I wrote in my own promise, my own regulation of my behavior. And I'm not saying what I am absolutely angel, and I didn't make some mistakes, but I never broke this rule in my life.
Well, you had
was joining to the mob, hitting someone.
Right, the violence.
Yeah.
Anti-violence.
And for instance, our great poet and who blessed me, Pasternak, was attacked as an anti-patriot man. I was forced to make a speech against him. Because I said he's a great poet. Great poet couldn't be anti-patriotic. It's impossible. He couldn't be on the side of the evil. It's never happened in the world.
And thank you for being on our show this week, Mr. Yevtushenko. Can't wait to hear you in Wellfleet reading on August 25th and the 26th, sponsored by The What, along with your showing of Stalin's Funeral. Hope to see you all there. Right on.